difficult conversations with people that I care about, with my family, the organization, the coaches, the players. Those have been positive and productive.
Vrabel spoke with his players yesterday, explaining he wanted to talk to his team first before addressing the matter publicly. Former Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin is joining NBC to be a part of their Sunday Night Football in America studio team. Billy Donovan stepped down as the head coach of the Chicago Bulls, spent 6 years in the Windy City, just one playoff appearance. Three game twos tonight, including in LA, where the Lakers take on the Rockets. Rockets forward Kevin Durant listed as questionable as the team's tip at 10:30 Eastern time. Florida forward Thomas Hauck is returning to Gainesville for his senior season. Well, the New York Post reports that the New York Mets are set to activate Juan Soto from the injured list as soon as Wednesday.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, lawmakers on Capitol Hill return from the Easter recess with growing optimism that a new five-year farm bill could soon advance. AgriPulse reports Senate Ag Committee Chair John Bozeman signaled progress. The Arkansas senator expects movement within weeks rather than months and anticipates a markup soon. The bill cleared the House Ag Committee in March with bipartisan support. It now awaits consideration on the House floor, possibly as early as this month. Well, the U.S. Justice Department is continuing to investigate the higher costs for fertilizer, machinery, and other farm inputs. And according to Bloomberg, the administration is looking for input from farmers. USDA Deputy Secretary Stephen Baden has opened lines of communication with the Justice Department and Federal Trade Commission and knows farmers have a lot of relevant information. Baden says they want farmers to provide help on a confidential basis. An overwhelming majority of U.S. farmers say rising fertilizer costs are limiting their ability to operate this season, according to an American Farm Bureau Federation survey. The survey found that 70% of respondents cannot afford to purchase all the fertilizer they need for the year. Nearly 80% of farmers in the South reported being unable to afford sufficient supplies, 69% in the Northeast, 66% in the West, and 48% in the Midwest.
Today, we're talking with aphids and whiteflies about Safina insecticide from BASF.
We just got nailed with it.
So tell us, how you feeling?
Really, really weird.
And you still want to devour this field?
No way, bro.
There you have it, folks. Safina insecticide is specifically engineered to disorient aphids and whiteflies so they can't eat. And when they can't eat, they can't destroy.
Help protect your alfalfa from aphids with Safina insecticide. Always read and follow label directions.
California farmers know there's no margin for error when it comes to irrigation. Rising electric costs, an uncertain grid, and aging diesel engines put your yield at risk. Propane-powered irrigation engines deliver high performance with fewer emissions than diesel and reliability the electric grid can't match. Upgrade to propane and earn up to $10,000 by submitting performance data through the Propane Farm Research Program. Learn more at propane.com/farmfunding.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks reversing earlier gains and are lower in afternoon trading as Iran ceasefire uncertainty is keeping investors on edge, which is offsetting upbeat earnings and AI optimism. While a jump in oil prices is also adding to investors' worries, with U.S. oil popping to around $93 a barrel. In the meantime, the heat is on Capitol Hill. Fed Governor Kevin Warsh, President Trump's pick to lead the central bank, is testifying today before the Senate Banking Committee. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors are lower, led by tech and industrials, while energy is the only gainer. And United Health Group shares are jumping over 8% after the health insurer reported first quarter results that substantially beat Wall Street expectations, and the company raised its annual guidance, signaling progress in its turnaround efforts. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Progressive presents Heroes That Keep Truckers Going. Today's hero, the Rest Up Bathroom Custodian. Is there toilet paper? No. Paper towels? No. Clean stalls? Also no. But the soap dispenser is full, and that counts for something. Thanks, hero. Know what else keeps truckers going? Progressive's expanded cargo protection through their enhanced Cargo Plus coverage. Get a quote at progressivecommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms, limits, and conditions. Not available in California.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
For some time now, a lot of us have been asking, why can't little Willie read or do arithmetic? And the answer is, he isn't being taught to do that. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
The story is told of the new young schoolmaster telling the old-timer about progressive education. He was enthusiastic about how the children were allowed to express themselves, play games, draw pictures, visit with each other, etc. The old boy heard him out and then said, "We had that when I was in school." The young teacher said, "You did?" And he said, "Yep, we called it recess." A few weeks ago, a national magazine carried a one-page story by a lovely young lady, 24 years of age. She titled her story, "Confessions of a Misspent Youth," but don't let that title fool you. She was in no way a juvenile delinquent. She is instead a victim of some of the modern ideas in education that have been around for a couple of decades or so. Her parents were of that era when permissive education seemed to be the wave of the future. At age 4, in 1956, she was enrolled in a small private school which she describes as a school without pain. It specialized in freedom, the freedom not to learn. The idea was to cultivate the innate creativity each child was believed to have. According to this graduate of the educational sandbox, they had different hours for each subject, but they were free to dismiss anything that bored them. School policy forbade them from being bored, miserable, or made to compete with each other. In studying history by recreating its least important elements, in early American history they made teepees, pounded corn, and ate buffalo meat. Another year they were maids and knights in armor and drank orange juice from tinfoil goblets. As she says, that was the Middle Ages, but they never found out what the Middle Ages were. There were other examples, copying hieroglyphics on brown wrapping paper without ever knowing what the hieroglyphics stood for. They spent a lot of time being creative because they were told that was the way to be happy. At age 10, they were functionally illiterate. Reading hadn't begun until third grade. I have a set of the old McGuffey readers, back when education was old hat. The first volume is for kindergarten. Sadly, this young lady says that upon graduation, all the happy young children fell down the hill. No matter what high school they went to, they were the underachievers, more handicapped than any underprivileged children. One of her fellow students killed himself after flunking out of the worst high school in New York at age 20. Others have put in time at various mental hospitals. Her own mother was advised to give her psychological tests to find out why she was blocking out information. She wasn't blocking it out. She didn't have any information to begin with. Rejected by all four-year colleges, she finally got a degree by way of a start in junior college. She rejoices that her 8-year-old younger brother was yanked out of the same progressive school when her mother finally saw the light and didn't want him to be like her. Her poignant closing line should be over the door of every teacher's college in America. Quote, "And now I've come to see that the real job of school is to entice the student into the web of knowledge, and then, if he's not enticed, to drag him in. I wish I had been." This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
Protecting what matters on the right choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Barry Fisher. Advice and information on protecting what matters most in today's world. Brought to you by Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers and their new associate, Heather Bordan, serving the commercial insurance needs of businesses on the Central Coast.
Welcome to Protecting What Matters. It's 1230 and the bear is back in the building. PWM is the broadcast that helps you become better shoppers and buyers of services and products to protect various aspects of your life, health, and property. We also explore current events, our history, community, institutions, and local treasures that are notable and worth preserving. We hopefully have two really great segments this today. From 1230 to 1, I have scheduled Megan Barth, who is the executive director, executive editor of the California Globe, specializing in investigative journalism. Unfortunately, she hasn't called into the station yet, so we will take some time reviewing some of her recent articles until she does, and I'm looking forward to getting some of your comment. One of the things we wanted to talk about, were you wondering where your tax dollars have gone in recent years here in California? We have been covered so much massive fraud in this state over the last 30 days that it's incredible. And I've also been following the story of the lies and potential crimes of Eric Swalwell and his enablers. And then now that Swalwell has dropped out of the Democrat race for governor, the leader is Tom Steyer, and Megan has done a great job of covering who this guy is and what our two Republican candidates, Steve Hilton and Chad Bianco, are up against. So hopefully Megan will be calling in and we'll be talking to her, but if not, I'm going to chat with you, hopefully. From 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock, we're going to be speaking to Larry Nissenson and Andy Friedman. Larry is the chief commercial officer, and Andy is the corporate development and brand strategy leader for a company called Assured Allies. And Assured Allies is all about wellness. We're going to be talking about why health span and not lifespan is the new well-being metric. We'll talk why wellness you're seeing a total proliferation of wellness programs now that are revolutionizing health insurance and the future care we receive. And then we want to speak about tying your health span and wealth span together for a better future. Larry and Andy will really give you some great information starting in the 1 o'clock hour. So you can call in with questions or comments or text in 805-238-5775. 238-KPRL. So as you know, we've had Katie Grimes on from the California Globe, and Megan is right up there as far as her prolific covering of a lot of these the fraud, waste, fraud, and abuse in the state of California. And one of the things that came up earlier this month, and I want to mention it, is, as some of you may know, I post our podcast version of the radio show on social media on Thursday. And I think two or three Thursdays ago, I can't remember who the guest was, but I made the comment on my post that California is a Potemkin state. We hear this comments constantly from Gavin Newsom and other state officials that California is the fourth largest economy in the world. Well, of course, most of that is because California is the home to all the the high-tech stuff in Silicon Valley. But the simple fact of the matter is California is struggling, and people in this state are struggling. In fact, Megan Barth reported in the California Globe just this morning that UCLA does an annual survey for the last 10 years on the quality of life in Los Angeles County. And for in the 11th year, which this is, UCLA ranked Los Angeles County 52 out of 100. So half the people who were surveyed are basically reporting that living in California, Los Angeles in particular, COVID restrictions, the fires, lack of action on that front, homelessness, and the city is going nowhere. And I think California is endemic of what's going on in California. We really live in a state that's hollow. If you know the metaphor of the Potemkin village was the Soviet Union. The old Soviet Union would set up fancy cities. The Chinese Communist government has done this as well. Fancy cities that look beautiful for all the left-wing press that wants to come and report how wonderful socialism is, when in fact there's nothing behind it. And so ultimately, you know, we're coping with this. We're paying for this through amazingly high taxes and poor services. So back earlier this month, one of the articles that caught my eye from the California Globe was California's bloated bureaucracy. Over the last 10 years, the state has added 518 agencies and 25% more employees to state government, and 48% of spend at a 48% spending surge as population has actually remained flat. Of course, we have a huge outgo of productive people and all kinds of unproductive people in the state now, because folks who want to work, they don't want to pay ridiculous taxes, whether it's income taxes or property taxes, are moving to low tax states. So the question is, why? And I'd like your opinion on this, my listeners. What are your thoughts? Where is the state of California going wrong as far as spending all this money and we're not getting the services that we deserve? What we're paying for. Another story that's interrelated, of course, is that. And something that we cover on a regular basis here on Protecting What Matters is the notion that the state's always got money to hire consultants. So we know about all this waste, fraud, and abuse. But earlier this month, Gavin Newsom signed something. He hired a consulting firm for another $20 million to study waste, fraud, and abuse. And of course, this consulting group, the Boston Consulting Group, it's the same elite firm that now employs his former cabinet secretary and Department of Finance director, Anna Matasentos. And so basically, it's a revolving door of government employees who work for Gavin Newsom, work for the state government and the federal government for that matter, and they leave government and end up getting sweetheart consulting deals to study why money is being fraudulently spent and wasted in this state. I know we have plenty of that here in our county as well. There's not a month doesn't go by that some new consultant isn't hired for this or that, to study why things are not going the way they're supposed to be going here. So I'd like your opinion on this. Give us a call at 805-238-5775 or send me a text. You think we're living in a Potemkin state? And I've got a call. Thanks for calling Protecting What Matters. Do you think we live in a Potemkin state?
Of course we do. And I just got to say two things. One, I'm in the wrong line of business, bud, because I should become a consultant. Secondly, right, if the government state government needs consultants to tell them that there's something wrong with their budget, I think that says everything that we need to know about them, to be honest. I mean, if a lay dumb guy like me knows exactly pretty much where the fraud is, it's I don't see how they don't see it. But
what do you think of this Medicare fraud and scam that was uncovered earlier this month? Again, a lot of stuff happened early this month where they and in this particular case with this Medicare fraud pertaining to I believe it was in-home supportive services, which of course is Medicaid. And also the other thing that's involved here, and it's an area that I've often wondered about because it's kind of part of my, you know, area of insurance, is the whole notion of hospice care. There's been, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars of billions, really, hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars of fraud where people, first of all, you've got all this hospice, you have all these hospice agencies that are really just empty offices somewhere in, like, Los Angeles, right? And and they're billing the Medicare system for hospice services probably on non-existent people, and that's what they're uncovering. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I only know what our favorite young investigative journalist Nick Shirley has uncovered.
Yes.
And it's astounding. It really is. And the problem is that these programs, while they were originally designed to help people that are truly in need, there is like a sort of incentive for the people administering these programs and contracted with the state to get as much volume as they can get. And it's just inherently there, right? Because if I'm running a business and my business is to get funding for contracts to do these services, I'm going to want to do as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's strong enough regulatory oversight over these people. I mean, I've got other opinions as to whether or not we should be just handing out Medicaid and stuff. But, I mean, that whole system, But it's really just like the way it's designed to incentivize fraud, in my opinion. And I'm interested to see what happens. I've been following Nick Shirley and his reporting, and as you may know, they're trying to pass a bill, I guess, called the Stop Nick Shirley Act or something. So they know, and now they're trying to cover it up. Us young people are following guys like that, and we're well aware.
Well, yeah, so let me ask you this. I mean, you know, so I'm an old guy and, of course, grew up with legacy media. But guys like Nick Shirley or even, you know, the California Globe, I mean, we really have to rely on independent sources of journalism for the news today to get really accurate information.
Yeah, I don't watch any legacy media at all. I follow smallish creators. I engage in long form debates, and I listen to people on TikTok Live flesh out their arguments. Facebook, YouTube, that's really the new medium, because with legacy media, there's so much power and from the top trying to force that narrative. But with YouTube, you can start an account, anybody can, and you can put out your content. It can be fact-checked, and if people agree with you, they'll just keep watching it. So I have a whole list of guys I watch, and honestly, I'll never watch mainstream media again.
Right. So, one of the things on this in-home supportive services and hospice fraud is that, you know, it used to be, I don't know if you know this, but my real business is I've been in the long-term care insurance business for many years and in the life and health insurance business. And one of the aspects of getting older is in what a lot of this fraud happened is in hospice care. And it used to be that in order to receive hospice care, which is paid for by Medicare, and it's palliative services. So basically, your doctor used to say, well, this person has less than 6 months to live, and therefore, we're going to provide them with palliative care, make them comfortable, and we anticipate that they're going to pass away within 6 months. And that used to be the criteria for being qualified for hospice care through Medicare. But all of a sudden, and I've noticed this over the years, there are people that have been on hospice care for years. And that's where the scam is. That should have been a what's the word I'm looking for? That should have been a red flag to a lot of people. That's a program that was theoretically designed for 6 months to help people die with some dignity.
Yeah. Do you think it's kind of jamming the system up too by just having so much? Because I know, like, my ex-mother-in-law, she was in a care home like that on Medicare. Mm-hmm. She passed away, unfortunately, of cancer. But my ex-father-in-law, who I still talk to, he has a very hard time getting into doctors and doing all this stuff. And I have a feeling it's just because there's such a huge backlog of people and services. And I know another thing, just before I hop off, the CalFresh and Medi-Cal programs also have a huge amount of waste and abuse. I personally know of a few people where they are on Medi-Cal, and then they get flyers in the mail saying, hey, we'll give you tailored nutritional meals, and then someone will go to Albertsons and buy food and drop it off for them. Mm-hmm. On top of their food stamps, on top of all the other stuff, they just kind of rubber stamp things from the doctor. You know, the weight loss medications are now kind of being rubber stamped. And there's an incentive there, obviously, to get volume, because the reimbursement rates, I think, are pretty low. So it's just the whole system is screwed up. And it's unfortunately going to hurt the people who really need it.
Well, that's the sad fact of it. I mean, there are truly needy people in this country that need to take advantage of the social safety net, whether it's Medicaid, you know, Medi-Cal in California, you know, the food stamp programs, the SNAP programs, and that kind of thing. Well, when you've got all this fraud happening, then somebody is not getting something. Somebody's not getting the service that they really need in lieu of somebody who's taking advantage of the system.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I think the way the system is designed, it's designed for people to just take the easy way out. I still sort of remember my parents used to tell me that you wouldn't go and take that aid or be caught taking that aid unless you really needed it, because it was kind of a thing like, I have no other option. And unfortunately now, it's like, that's the first place some people go because it's the easy way out.
Well,
it's the easy way. You know, I mean, we could argue, but that's a whole nother topic, right? Do we, welfare and who we give it to. But this whole problem is like I said, I'm a lay person, and I think we've kind of consulted the issue right there. I mean, I'll take a check, please, you know. the whole thing's ridiculous, man.
You clearly have a future in consulting, so.
Well, I'm going to quit my day job, yeah.
well, thanks so much for your knowledgeable call. Call in anytime. Thanks so much. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Well, and along these lines, as we go into the break here in about a minute, there was another article in the California Globe by one of their writers, Mitchell Sanchez, and he's talking about how, you know, again, that our system, our homelessness is paying for homelessness, are paying for sex change operations for illegal aliens. So the byline on this, taxpayer funded Medi-Cal. So again, Medi-Cal is Medicaid in California, and it's generally split 50-50 between the state and the federal government. It's a one-stop shop for gender affirming care, including cross-sex hormones, breast implants, and genital surgeries. So again, this is clearly an aspect this is waste. It may not be. It's probably fraud as well. But the point of the matter is, our social welfare services are not being used properly. Hey, it looks like Macon just called in. I'm going to take a break here, and we'll be right back. So stand by.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Listen to this real Paso Robles Glass customer where they installed 23 replacement Milgard Tuscany windows and two sliding doors.
Steve Eklund, Craig Smith as an architect and a proud and honored client of Paso Robles Glass. Hey, the boys are doing a great job. They just left. Everything is just fine. Extremely good crew. You got that crew is exceptional. They're all hardworking guys, very careful, very cautious. All is good. I think they have one more day tomorrow, wrap it up, the finished work. I'd like to set up a time to come up and see you next week. I've got a big, big project I'd like you to look at for me. Whatever works on your end, just wanted to let you know, Steve. Take care. Bye.
Get rid of your old broken windows and get new Milgard energy-efficient windows and doors with Milgard's ironclad lifetime warranty.
Welcome back to Protecting What Matters. It's been a crazy morning, and thankfully, Megan Barth from the California Globe, the executive editor of the California Globe, who specializes in investigative journalism, is now on the line. Megan, welcome to Protecting What Matters.
Well, thank you so much, and it's a great title of your show.
Well,
so that's what we're trying to do.
Well, absolutely, and you know, we're probably going to have you back on to unpack. I spent the last 20 minutes talking about all your waste, fraud, and abuse articles, and actually had a very good caller, a young man who you know, has seen the light. He decided he wants to become a consultant for the state of California and make millions of dollars. So it was.
I really got into the wrong gig, you know? He's on the right track.
You know, we've only got you now for about 5 or 6 minutes, so let's just jump right into this. You know, and again, we will have you back. I'll reschedule maybe for next month, because you're prolific in your writing and everything. But talk about the Eric Swalwell thing. What's the latest on that story? Obviously, it's totally upset the Democrat, governor's race. What's your take on that?
Well, very quickly, I actually have an exclusive coming up, so stay in tune to the California Globe. I'll be publishing that shortly. I just received it about an hour ago. But Eric Swalwell's infidelities have been known by Democrats for decades, for years. This goes all the way back to when Nancy Pelosi had the gavel as Speaker of the House. And she was made aware from the FBI that they had a file on him, that he allegedly was sleeping with a Chinese honeypot, a Chinese spy by the name of Christine Fang. And she did not remove him from the House Intelligence Committee, even though he could have been blackmailed and obviously compromised. He was also compromised and could have been blackmailed from the multiple rumors of his alleged affairs and his treatment and harassment of staffers and other women, other Democratic women. These weren't Republican women. The Republicans weren't the one that framed Eric Swalwell. There were multiple Democratic activists, staffers, women that came forward telling their stories, their sordid stories, and allegedly where he would spike their drinks. They would become blackout drunk. They would wake up and know or suspect that they were sexually assaulted by Eric Swalwell. Not only Nancy Pelosi knew about Eric Swalwell's proclivities, if you will, multiple Democrats. You know, Ruben Gallego, the senator from Arizona, Democrat, can't feign that he had only heard that he was flirty. No, the rumors persisted and followed Eric Swalwell as far back as when he was on the Dublin City Council. But yet Democrats chose to promote him, protect him, but they didn't choose to protect women from Eric Swalwell. And this tells you everything you need to know about the priorities of the Democratic Party. Whenever they had an opportunity to protect women or believe all women, especially during the Me Too movement, they certainly didn't do that on behalf of the victims of Eric Swalwell. So now when we look at the governor's race, it's really interesting. The two Republicans, Chad Bianco, sheriff from Riverside, as well as businessman Steve Hilton, are still in the top two of the jungle primary. So guess what Democrats want to do now? Eliminate the jungle primary because it's not working to their advantage. So again, this shows you the hypocrisy of the Democratic Party, especially if Democrats vote for Tom Steyer. Why do I say that? Three reasons. Tom Steyer is a billionaire. That's one thing Democrats hate. Number two, he made his billions off of private prisons, another thing the Democrats are against. And number three, he made his billions off fossil fuels, something the Democrats want to eliminate. So Tom Steyer is a trifecta of what the Democrats don't like. But yet you will have Democrats pulling the lever for Tom Steyer. And so he's made some gains as far as peeling off some of Swalwell's supporters, but not enough to catch up to the two Republicans who are leading the ticket.
So what do you think the Dems are going to do here now? Are they going to circle the wagons around one candidate and try to push him to the front? Or do you think Steyer is the guy at this point?
Well, you know, when you look at the teachers union, a pretty powerful teachers union, I believe it's the California Teachers Association, the CTA, I believe they are backing, is it Becerra? And so that's interesting. So, you know, they're going to have their teachers and their union members, you know, campaigning on behalf and perhaps ballot harvesting. I'm not sure what the ballot harvesting rules are in California and Nevada. They're awful. I don't think you have unlimited ballot harvesting. But in California, you know, I lived there up until 2015, and I lived there for a little over 30 years. And then I escaped to Nevada thinking I was going to a red state.
Whoops.
But we're red in terms of having a governor, but our legislature is just as radical as your legislature in California. The only thing stopping California policies from metastasizing here in Nevada is due to Republican Governor Joe Lombardo.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, I don't trust California's voting system. I don't trust that you have clean voter rolls. Actually, I know you don't have clean voter rolls. And so, you know, even though the Republicans are in the lead, until those voter rolls are cleaned up and we don't have dead people or illegal aliens on the voter rolls or non-citizens on the voter rolls, you know, we will continue to see Democrats eke out wins, you know, by a percentage or two. As we saw, I'm sorry, in the 2024 election, you had multiple Republicans in Congress leading on election day, and then all of a sudden, a month later, they lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that's not the case again, but this is the first time. I mean, it's kind of history in the making as we're watching these early results. You might have two Republicans in the general election unless there's something that happens, you know, during the primary.
Yep. Megan, we're coming up on the end of the hour. What's the best way for people to follow you?
CaliforniaGlobe.com.
All right. I'll touch bases with you next week and we'll get you rescheduled, okay?
Excellent.
Thanks for calling in. Take care.
Yes. Bye-bye.
Folks, we'll be back on the other side of the break with Larry Nissenson and Andy Friedman of Assured Allies. So stand by.
Join us next Tuesday for Protect What Matters the Most with Barry Fisher. Send your questions and show topic ideas to barry@blazinbear.com. AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.